Coming to you live from the basement of an abandoned training facility where we talk about fighting, training, and events. It's the Fight Mixer Show, where you can hear about all the local and world combat sports happenings. Get ready. It's time to gear up and square up because we're going live, on the Fight Mixer Show.
Perfect.
Guys, welcome to Wednesday. Hi, Louis.
Hello.
How are you? You hear us okay?
Yep.
Good here.
Awesome. Welcome to Wednesday, guys. Thank you. We got Matt and Vince here tonight. I'm super excited. Allie is out. We're going to miss her. But these three beautiful faces, I'm sure, can do the job. So welcome.
Yeah, I don't know.
What's up? How are you feeling?
At least one. Yeah. What's up, buddy? How's it going, man? How you feeling? How's camp been going?
Been going awesome, and we were actually ready about 2 weeks ago. We just gotta wait now to fight night.
Right. So, are you at Goat's Head or are you at ATT?
No, I'm not with either. Actually, Goat's Head is a very good friend of mine. Azeem, he's the head coach over there. Very good friend of mine. I actually teach classes there. Striking classes, and I train with Young Tigers Foundation, which is my striking coach for the last 5 years, Eric Castaños. They call him El Tigre. He's a 5-time kickboxing world champion, and since the beginning of my bare knuckle career, I've been training with Dino Spencer from the world's famous Fish Street Gym in South Beach. Those are my two camps, and my strength and conditioning trainer for the last 5 years also is Abner Parada from the Workout Spot.
Right on, man. Right on. I just always see you with Hector, or I see you with at ATT, but you know, there's a lot going on down there in Miami. So you kind of try to get in everywhere, yeah. So how do you think this is going to go, man? You know, Jim Allers, I know you guys have some pretty good beef between the two of you. But he's obviously a tough opponent, man. He it's going to be a great fight. How do you see it going? I mean, obviously you think you're going to win, but do you think you're going to be able to knock him out? Think it's going to go the distance, or do you think?
If he comes the way that he comes out in every fight, he's definitely going to sleep. You know, because he's gonna run into a brick. Jim comes in, you know, like a beast, you know, like a Neanderthal, if you will. You know, like he comes in looking to tear a hole through your head. He comes in to throw everything with a knockout power punch. You know, looking for that clinch, looking to finish you as soon as possible. It's like almost like if he's in a rush to get out of there, you know, without getting a hit or something. And I remember that because I was like that. But I was like that 10 years ago, you know? So I would say a hybrid of what he is. You know, I'm now in between that brawler killer instinct that I was back then with a very high level boxing now that, you know, I have developed throughout the years and experience. So the way that I see him, man, I definitely see a knockout. If he comes in the way that he's coming, he's going to run into a brick. He's going to go.
So you think his style is reckless, right? You know, definitely. Yeah, he comes in, he bum rushes.
There's nothing smart about his style. I mean, I appreciate his style. Don't get me wrong. You know, I enjoy watching it. I was rooting for him when, you know, before I even signed. I was one of the guys in the back. Hey, give this man a title shot. He deserves it. You know, I was one of those guys. You know, he was an old training partner of mine. And you know, it's action, man. It's the way it should be for the fans, right? Right. But I see him more of a reckless and let's see who knocks who out, you know, my style.
Yeah, you guys are both known for your finish rate.
Say it again?
So you guys are both known for your finish rate.
Hey, so yeah.
I like it when two of the same kind are matched up. It's like, who's just going to fucking go out there and get it? And I like the wild method, so
I don't, I don't blame you. I like it too.
Put on a show. I love that. That's what I was, that's what I thought was interesting about the thing. You guys are both, that's what you guys are known for.
Yeah.
So who has the heavier hands? I don't know where that's going to come from, but.
Hey, Luis, tell me this, man. I heard a comment you made saying that you beat him at his own sport. Obviously, Jim's a BJJ black belt. He's been known as a grappler. Let's hear the story, man. Did you tap him in the gym or what happened here?
Look, I never said anything until he started spitting all that crap that he started talking about, you know? I always kept it professional, quiet, respectful, because we had a friendship. You know, things changed. He got a little salty about the fact that I stepped up to get a title shot when he didn't. And the truth starts to come out. It's just the truth. Look, when he came into the gym, I was an MMA Masters. I was the first fighter out of MMA Masters, okay? I bought four titles to MMA Masters. And when he came in through a mutual friend, Josh Saman, you know, may he rest in peace. And he came in, and it was like, I can close my eyes and land the punch in Jim's face. You know, I'm not even exaggerating. I'm not, you know, I'm not making nothing up. Like, I'll, you know, I get the best of him every single time. He's never gotten the best of me in striking ever. And of course, it's MMA, right? So there was some grappling.
Uh-oh, lost audio.
I mean, yes. Popping.
Uh-oh.
Can we hear you now?
1, 2, 1, 2.
Yeah, gotcha, man. Yeah, so it was an MMA match. You know, there's some grappling, there's some striking. That's where we lost you.
Yeah, so, you know, it's an MMA gym. You're going to box, you're going to kickbox, you're going to do wrestling, you're going to do jiu-jitsu. And, yeah, I've talked to him out before. You know, I don't remember him tapping me out, you know, so – I mentioned it.
Yeah, normally those types of things stay in the gym, but whenever you call somebody's car, you pull somebody's card, hey, it's, you know, all bets are off, right?
This dude started bringing out my record, and then, oh, he lost this many times. Man, who has he fought in the level that I've fought in? Who has he fought? I'm the biggest fight he's ever had. He's never fought anybody in MMA. Well, MMA, maybe when he was in UFC, maybe he faced a name or two, but look,
Jason
at his,
Knight.
Look at his
he fought Jason Knight.
Anybody big? Like, what are the big names you remember in his record, MMA record?
What's the I remember name? He fought Jason Knight. That's what Jason I remember. Knight. Yeah.
Who else? I'll wait.
I mean, I don't know the man. I don't know the man's record that well.
If you compare it to me, I fought Justin Gaethje, George Masvidal. I fought, man, you name it. I fought like 6, 7 people that went straight to UFC after I beat them, after I knocked them out. You know, like, I fought huge names, man. Like, you can't compare the roster.
That's what I was wondering. Who did you like fighting more, or what was more of a brawl fest to you for, Gaethje or Masvidal? Like, who had the heavier hand?
Well, Masvidal, if the footage was ever to be released, it was Glenn Rice's show, and they had some TV deal. They never released the original footage. But there's a video from the outside, from the crowd, and you can't see it too good. But in that fight, Masvidal was respecting me so much. He was really worried about the knockout. I took his calf out, you know, and it was a split decision, you know. But it was a fight where he wasn't looking to finish a fight. He wasn't looking like he didn't. Masvidal came in 8 pounds heavy. He wasn't even trying to fight me. You know, I don't know what was going on with that. But I remember that fight. He was supposed to go to UFC, and I ruined that for him. And it took him a little longer to get to UFC. He ended up going to Strikeforce after that. And Gaethje was the fight. Gaethje was a guy that I underestimated in the first fight. Yet, even though I underestimated him, we ended up breaking the NBC ratings records. We ended up, you know, doing fight of the year, fight of the month, and we did it twice. So Gaethje was definitely it. It's a highlight.
Hell yeah, man.
What'd you think about him fighting Khabib the other night?
I didn't like how he looked. I actually put money on Gaethje. Like,
it was tough.
It was a little different. I was talking about that.
Well, you know, they say the rule about you don't ever bet against the undefeated guy, right? But, you know, I'm not much of a person to bet on anything. I don't bet much. But, you know, I was rooting for Gaethje, of course, and I thought that he had everything to beat Khabib. I just think that Khabib did to him what he does to people. Khabib walked them backwards, and that was like that medicine that you need against Gaethje. Gaethje walks forward, forward, forward. he'll eat everything you throw at him. He goes forward. But he was so worried about that takedown. Mm-hmm. And I think it comes down to his jiu-jitsu, because Gage's wrestling is good. It's better than what he displayed, even though, you know, Khabib will make you look like that, you know? And his striking was just, I guess he was so worried about the pressure, the takedown, that his striking was very sloppy, man.
Yeah.
He was so much better with Ferguson.
Yeah. You know? He's kind of unpredictable, which I like, but that one, it felt like he actually went wild.
Yeah.
Like he wasn't composed a little bit.
Yeah, he couldn't find his footing. He was running back. Like, I understand. You can't let Khabib get a hold of you. I understand that.
I think a lot of people were looking for that upset, but it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Well, my thoughts on that.
He was the performance in his end. I think he could have done better, you know?
Yeah, I think he had a game plan to take out the legs early. So that, so that Khabib couldn't, you know, yeah, he was.
Yeah, if he would have got a couple more in there, yes.
But once he wrapped those, got the takedown and wrapped those legs up, it was over, man.
Oh, yeah. That's like the ending move. He was like, okay, bye.
I'm surprised Herzog let it go that long, man. That was
a bathroom break now.
So, Lewis, we represent Fusion this time, bro?
Always.
Always.
You take care of me.
Oh, yeah, that's what I thought.
Yes.
Shout out, Danny.
Not because they sponsor me or nothing. I've been around some CBD products, and let me tell you, man, Fusion CBD is the real deal, man. That stuff really works. As a matter of fact, I have a massage scheduled later on today. Yeah, exactly. And I spoke to my massage therapist. She's been taking care of me for the last 12 years. And I told her after everything is done, there's a certain areas that I need to work on that I want her to use a CBD pomade on it. Because it's my favorite and it really works.
That rubs the truth, man. Truth.
That works, man. That's the real deal. Yep.
Can I ask you real quick, where did you get the name Baboon from? Is you got heavy ass hands? You got
baboon, look, see that tat right there?
Yeah.
So this tattoo the logo of a capoeira group. It was about 28 years back. Okay. My ex capoeira mestre, my mestre is like a sensei, right?
Yeah.
He was breaking off from my latest capoeira mestre and building his own team. And he named it Abolition. And the logo was the baboon, and I was the very first student, and I was the best there, and I would fight a lot. In capoeira, there's no gloves and shin guards, like capoeira gets really brutal, people die in Brazil from capoeira, like there's like your heel to your temple, you're dead, and in Miami, the situation with police and the problems, but I would fight a lot. And I represented the team very well, and I was named after the logo. So I just rhyme with it.
That's cool, though. That's all I'm always curious about that crap. I like that tattoo, though.
Yeah, fuck yeah, man. So you had mentioned, obviously everybody knows about the face-off at the press conference, the Paige VanZant press conference, right? And then we just had this little video release of you and Jim kind of face-to-face, BKFC did, and you said, you came from the streets and where I'm from, you put your head up to me and tell me, let's do it right now. I'm throwing down. Right. I mean,
it was a warning shot though. Let's get it right.
It was a clear warning shot.
It was a warning shot. Look in the hood, in the streets, you think that you're about to fight one-on-one with somebody and you're getting hit by all different angles. Okay. So you grew up and you figure things out, right? Now when somebody gets in your face, you start off with a headbutt, take that one out, and now you handle the rest. Now, we know that we're not in the hood. We know that we're in a professional stance. But you are saying things like, we can do it right now. We have the lights on like pay-per-view. Meet me in the middle. When you say things like that and walk to a man's face and put your forehead on my forehead, you're asking for it, man. So it was a love tap. I could have aimed at the nose and break the nose. I didn't break his nose. I if there was a camera pointing at my feet, I went on my tippy toes to make sure that I hit his forehead. It was a love attack. I wasn't trying to hurt him. I was just like, hey, get away from my face. That's all.
Primal instincts, man. It's hard to control that sometimes, right?
Yeah, warning shot.
Yeah, right.
So was BK FC 10, was that where it all started off then? Or I thought it was just at the conference because I didn't realize there was that much heat.
No, Jim wasn't at 10. Jim wasn't at 10.
Oh, okay. I thought you said that's where they faced off the first time.
No, it was in a conference that we did.
Okay. Yeah,
they've been at each other.
They were introducing Paige Van Zandt.
Yeah, because I missed the conference. BKFC didn't let me know to come down there because I certainly would have.
Well, it kind of started at BKFC 10, right? Because Jim had to pull out because his manager had COVID. And so Isaac Valley Flag jumped in. And that's, yeah. And then that's kind of where it all started. It was like Jim said, he doesn't deserve the title fight, he didn't deserve the title. Jim's the true champion. He's got his belts or whatever. You're gonna take that belt if you win. You're gonna take
his belt. I told him that in the meeting that we had. We had that face off interview. I told him, hey, you lose, I'm taking that belt because that belt is going in my son's wall.
I like it.
Oh yeah.
Fuck yeah, man. I like it.
It's my son's belt. It belongs in my son's wall.
If nothing else, man, it's been great entertainment. You know what I mean? Just the build up to all this, it's been good entertainment. I know the fans love it, man.
Yeah, I enjoy it. I enjoy the drama. I'm one of those guys. it makes you want to watch the fight and get into it. So I'm all about it.
And it's true, the whole story is true. You know, I mean, he just, he felt that type of way. I think he would have looked better staying quiet because it's not like I was gonna keep the next title shot from him, he decided not to show up to a fight that was scheduled for him. The fight was him and I. And he said, well, my trainer has COVID. And I told him, okay, well, do you have COVID? He said, well, I'm gonna find out in 4 days. Okay, but if you don't have, are you gonna fight or not? And he said, oh no, we spoke and we said we're gonna just sit this one out. So if you're gonna sit it out, just shut the fuck up, man. Just be quiet, sit down. Let me beat this dude. Let me get this belt. And then we meet next. Nobody's skipping you. Stay quiet. You look better.
Wait your turn.
Yeah. you're the one that's passing. It's not like nobody's taking it from you.
Yeah, right on, man. I was there whenever you won the belt. I was working the Fusion booth over there. You came take pictures with my daughter. I mean, she loved that, man. I mean, she tells everybody that story. It was it was a great experience for her. I appreciate that. Jim's a close friend of mine. My daughter's going to be rooting for you. I'm probably going to be rooting for Jim. I mean, I just want a good fight, bro.
Good man, as long as you put the money on it.
That's right. I don't know, man. We're going to see what the line looks like. We're going to see what the betting line looks like.
All right.
What do you think you come in? You think you're going to come in the dog, or you think you can come in the favorite?
Oh, man, I have no idea. I mean,
I didn't even thought about that, actually.
Jim does have 4 fights, 3 knockouts. He's got some real nice highlights in there. He definitely deserves and has been deserving of a title shot. So, I have no idea. I'm not a betting man, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, I just thought about that as I was saying it, bro. Like, I haven't even thought about that yet.
I am curious to find out though how people look at it.
I don't know how they do it, but the Vegas people are pretty good at that shit, man. I don't know how they do it, but it's going to be a tie. It's going to be a pick 'em, I believe. I mean, it's pretty close. I mean, obviously you believe in yourself, you're confident in yourself, but on paper, fighting style, it's going to be a close fight, man. I believe it's going to be a test, man. You can't overlook Jim. You can't overlook him. He has tendencies. He comes in hard and fast.
Now, let me tell you something, man. When we were training in the gym, I'll tell you this much, right? When we were training together, I could beat the crap out of Jim, and he'll stay walking forward. He ain't never back down. He can take a hit. He's tough. He's durable. But, in all honesty, that's where he lands. He has no type of head movement. He has no type of real skill, no footwork. He's like stuck in the mud. He's got one gear going forward, and it's like a horse in a race, just like this, going forward. So that's where he slacks at, But is he tough and durable? Yes. Is he going to come forward without fear? Yes. That's what I want. That's what I welcome. I'm going to pick him apart.
Got to have a good dance partner.
Are you expecting to go the distance, though? I know you guys were talking about that earlier, but I'm wondering, because usually when you see people when they have both high finish rates, you see them really freaking hesitant to actually do what they do best. And I think that kind of ruins some of their fights sometimes, too, because then they're not taking the shots that everyone expects them or waves them to take, or the fluidity of the fight, I think it sometimes takes away from it. So are you going to go in there, like, as you feel comfortable, or are you actually preparing more for him, or are you going to do more for, like, you're just going to do your shit, you're going to go in there, you're going to do what you do best.
I'm going to go
the adversity, like, right there versus, like, you know, worrying about his style coming at you.
So I fire off out of what you give me, you know, and not necessarily as a counter fighter, because I'm not. I create my own counters. Like, I don't wait for you to throw something for me to counter. I create my own counters with my movement, with my jabs. So I'm definitely going to go out there and feed off what he gives me. You know, yeah. So it depends on the fighter that he brings in, is how I'm going to respond to him.
Yeah. You know? I think that's what a lot of people want too out of this one. That's what they're looking for you guys, just go slugging and brawling with each other.
Yeah, I mean, the whole brawling thing, you know, that's all chance. You know, if you go over there just brawling, then it's whoever lands first. And bare knuckle doesn't really matter. At the end of the day, it's going to be whoever lands first. At the most, you know, at the end of the day, you know. But I'm definitely a thinking man, you know, having fall from that.
You, with such a high finish rate, too, I always wonder, like, with people, like, do you, it's cool one way to say that you have a high finish rate, but do you enjoy that, or do you actually, like, shit, I wish you stayed awake a little bit longer so I could have some more fun, like, through the rest of the fight. Like, do you ever get, like, you just want to play around with them, like, the rest of the matches? Or
I just played that in the Brito fight, in my debut. I didn't want to get out of there fast. I was enjoying
it. Did you train for it?
You know, yeah. I was there, like, I want to keep going. I want to keep doing this, you know. And get it out and, you know, see what it's about, you know, without gloves again, big stage. Because, you know, the last time I fought without gloves was in the street. So to do it in a big stage and, you know, and to use some skill, some real skill into it. And, you know, look for that knockout, look for that, you know, look for those angles. You know, I enjoy the fight. I enjoy the challenge. So, you know, I want to be in there. I'm not in a rush to get out of there.
Yeah, that first round, like, they're not even ready to be done yet. They're not even going to wake up to the round two, and they're starting to get their fucking groove on, and then he goes to sleep. Like, oh, shit. Like, everyone's right there with you. Like, dude, Luis, you got heavy-ass hands. Like, slow it down for a second. Let's watch something.
definitely, you know, Jim is a dangerous man. You know, I'm not playing against him. If I can finish him soon, I will finish him soon.
I'm excited. So,
will we say the 360 punch again, bro?
Hey, there's actually different variables to it, man. So it's not gonna be just the hook.
Yeah. Hey, so be real with us for a second, bro. Were you going back to MMA and trying to go like spinning back fist and realize you can't do that and just turn it into a 360?
No. I've been doing that 360 into a hook for like more than 10 years. I never liked the spinning back fist, ever. It wasn't my thing. Right. I never liked it. So instead of doing that, I would spin, switch to softball with the hook, bam, at the same time. And I would land it all the time. Except for in MMA, in real fights, most of the time we're facing wrestlers or grapplers, or people say, take my boom down. They wouldn't want
they're to changing up. Levels. Yeah, so they're changing levels. Under
and take me down. You know, now there's no more takedown. So I can utilize it more now.
That's the same. That's anything.
A lot of fighters say they enjoy that aspect, Lewis. Like they enjoy the fact that they can just go back to the schoolyard and just throw hands. They don't have to worry about wrestlers. They don't have to worry about the takedown. It's just brawling. I mean, that's why people like this sport.
Oh yes, I enjoy it. I enjoy it myself. Yep, it's the fun part.
Yeah, just standing and banging, right?
The training and banging. That was my fun part. Yeah.
How'd you get started with all of it, though? Like, what was, like, the first thing that actually either pushed you to training, or were you just doing that on the streets and you just had to fix it?
The actual spinning hook?
No, just fighting in general.
MMA? Oh, yeah. Okay. I started in California at the age of 10. When I first came from Peru, I landed in Cali, and my father took my older brother, Pedro, to a boxing gym. My brother was 14 at the time. I was 10. And I was, hey, can I go? And I was really skinny and scrawny, you know, and I, hey, can I go too? And my brother ended up, you know, not liking it. He was out a week later, and I kept boxing for 3 years. So I started boxing in California from 10 to 13. Then I came to Miami, and I couldn't find boxing gyms in Miami. When my mom moved over here, my father was in prison, and you know, it was just her. And the only boxing gym near me was like 90 minutes away. I think, I don't know how many buses. She wasn't having it. So I ended up being very angry, fighting in the street a whole lot until I found capoeira, Brazilian martial arts. And then I did capoeira for about 13 years. And then I seen some of my old capoeira partners doing jiu-jitsu and doing MMA. And I was like, oh, well, you know, I used to beat up this guy, you know. I can do this. And then I started doing jiu-jitsu. And within 6 months after jiu-jitsu, I did my first pro fight without any amateur fights, without any sparring partners, without any wrestling coach, without practically anything. And I started fighting at 170, weighing 165. I didn't know anything about weight cutting, but I have power in the hands, so it carried me. My first fight was a minute 23 seconds. My second fight was 25 seconds. My third fight, I fought a guy 6'3", Jeremy something, that ended up going to UFC Ultimate Fighter House fighting at 170 because the guy was coming down for like 200 pounds to fight. Mm. And Jeremy, that's when I found out about weight cutting and all that, and, you know, ended up doing MMA for about 13 years.
How much weight do you cut for BKFC, Lewis?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Look, in MMA, I have two world titles at 145, two world titles at 155. So my last fights before BKFC, I was fighting 145 in Russia. And that was a pretty tough cut, 25 pounds, 27 pounds. But I don't pass 172, 173. I don't get, like, if I'm eating, I could do a barbecue, and I'll step on the scale just, you know, just for shits and giggles, just to see my weight, and I'll probably hit 175 on a full stomach. Next day, I'll be 173 again. So when I'm in camp, my body fluctuates between 165, 66, and 170. I don't even pass 170 when I'm in camp. So like when it comes to cutting weight, I'm already 163 right now. I'm like 8 pounds over. So it's like nothing.
Right on, man. Right on. Yeah, man. I know you got to go. You got something else going on. If you want to shout out your sponsors.
Yes.
Yeah. Now's the time, bro.
Thank you, man. Well, thank you guys for having me, first of all. And, you know, thanks to Dave Feldman, BKFC, for the opportunity once again. You know, I'm a champ today because the opportunity was given to me. Thank you, Fusion CBD, FYI Yachts, 1-800-INJURED, Divino Ceviche, Gorilla Barbershop. That's why I have a hat on. I haven't seen them yet. They got to cut my hair. Gorilla Barbershop, Bonnell Marine, and the other one before I get my ass whooped for real. Man, there's a lot of sponsors, but those are the main ones that go on my shorts, and I don't want to forget about them. So thank you all for the sponsorships. And, you know, this game is a tough game. You know, it's really tough to go into camp and having to, you know, look for, you know, your money other places. You know, with this, I can fully focus on my camp because my camp, my sponsors are taking care of me, and they're allowing me to really focus on myself and really focus on defending this title. So big thanks to all the sponsors and, you know, everybody that shows love.
Thank you, Louis.
Thank you so much for coming on.
I'm working on you. We'll be watching for sure.
Good luck, bro.
I'll be down there watching.
Don't bet.
Nice. Thank you.
All right. See you later.
Peace.
He's a nice dude. He's nice.
Yeah, he's a nice guy. Awesome. He's a nice guy.
What do you think?
Good interview. I'm ready to go down there and watch him fight, him and Ehlers.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Jim's my boy. I like Lewis. Whenever he beat Isaac's another good friend of mine. I like Lewis. I just don't know him as well. But after he won, he came. He let my daughter wear the new belt. Took pictures all day long. Signed autographs. He was
that's
great.
Pretty cool.
He was super cool.
Yeah, we've had Isaac on our show. He's a nice guy too.
He's hilarious, man. I love that guy.
he didn't seem like he had a whole lot to say though. He was like kind of a quiet guy.
Who, Isaac?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Isaac Valley. Like, he is until you get him started, man. You gotta
I'm sure. On camera, though, he was like,
"Yeah, he's good people, man."
Yeah, I'm just waiting for Reggie to punch in here. He's I've messaged him, so we'll give him a few minutes, and then we'll have to wrap the show up.
Drop me off real quick, so I can go take a bathroom break.
Okay.
Yeah.
Announce it.
All right, now we're down to two. So,
dude, even if you wanted to root for Jim, I just feel like you can't because Luis is so nice.
On the original Three Beards version of the Fight Mixer show, we had Jim on. He was a nice guy too.
Yeah, no, he's a great dude. That's why I'm like, I'm really. There's gonna be an upset either way.
There's gonna be people. There's gonna be people. Yeah, upset for sure.
What'd you say?
There will be definitely people upset on both sides.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I was reading this. I'm like, I was reading one prediction. I'm like, but that's why I love, you know, the whole sports deal. You just never know what's gonna happen.
Yeah.
But it definitely makes it hard when you got two guys that you like the personalities too, and it's just.
So did you watch all the fights this weekend, or?
I watched most of it. Dude, I forgot that they're at like 1 p.m. or something like that.
I missed them. I was like, it's like, yeah, let's have a watch party or something. They're like, it's over. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I missed it all.
This is the first time I found out about it happening really early, because usually I find out like 10 o'clock or 9 o'clock at night when I'm trying to turn it on. I'm like, oh, it's over.
Yeah, I'm always like, exactly. I'm always on it like, you know, 6 or 7. I start moseying around to the TV to start seeing if it's on or whatever. But I was like, well, and then, I actually seen it on, I typed it in UFC or whatever, and it said in progress. Now I just ignored it. I was like, nah, it's not going.
Dude, I'm trying to lay in bed still right now. Like, or people are doing stuff like that. That's a big fight. It was a little bit better though, because Ferguson and my Pantera went on there. I was really upset about that. So that was going to be like an amazing card to me, but they were both out. But Maverick, I woke up after Maverick's fight. Did you see her?
I didn't see nothing.
And the nasty ass elbow cut. She did a nice elbow and finished in the first round. So that one was, they're posting like, you know, oh, do you want to be a fighter? Those injuries. The girl's nose was just a big old slit. I'm sure everyone listening is. Knows exactly what I'm talking about. All you have to do is type it. But it was Maverick's UFC debut, I believe. And she's from Missouri. I think she's on the KC side. I could be really wrong about that. But I think she has a really, really bright future. I've watched her for a little bit before she got up there. So Miranda Maverick. You gotta look for her. Gotcha. I need her in person.
Yo. What's up, y'all? Sorry I'm late.
No, you're all good.
Get it together, Reggie.
It's been a long fucking day. Y'all kiss my butt.
Too far away. What's up, sir? How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
I'm good. Waiting for your presence. We're excited to talk to you.
Word. I appreciate y'all having me on.
So how'd you get the name Eazy-E?
All right, so let's correct it like everybody else.
Educated hands. Yeah.
No, not educated hands. The original ring name is just Eazy. That's what it says. Not Eazy E, it's just Eazy. If you read it right, it says Ease E. Ease.
My bad.
I would say let's talk to your marketing person about that, but Mama Kim would probably not like that too much.
But no, honestly, my original ring name was Showtime when I was an amateur boxer. And the story behind it is I fought in the Mid-Atlantic regional tournament. We fought Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and the championship on Sunday. And I smoked all four of those kids. And a little boy, I think he's like 8 or 9 years old, was like, man, he's like, that, you just made it look so easy. They should call you Easy. And I was like, you know what?
That's the first time I ever heard that story.
That's how I got my ring name.
That's awesome.
Nice.
You're coming up?
Come again?
Said you're coming up on the same car. We got, what, November 14th, is it?
November 13th, live in Miami, BKFC 14. I am fighting that be that bitch, Gwen, for the interim 135-pound title. I don't even really care about the strap. It's, you know, it's always nice to add another accolade, but it's only an interim title. The main thing is getting in there and beating Dak's ass.
Nice. Yeah, he was talking mad shit last time you guys saw each other, right?
We had a little altercation at BKFC 12. The story behind that is we did like a joint podcast interview. You know, we were doing a little bickering, and he said, direct quote, "You are not worth my time to fight, so I'm just going to slap you the next time I see you." Well, during my fight against Abdel Velasquez, right after the first round, he jumped up and started heckling me, which is completely disrespectful. Not just disrespectful to me, but disrespectful to Abby, disrespectful to the sport, and disrespectful to BKFC in general. You know, we're in there trying to perform and put on for the fans and the organization, and you're over there being a dick, trying to distract me from doing my job. So when I got out of the ring, I went over there and I said, "Hey, you said you was going to slap me when you see me. I'm right here. I'm ready to fight again. Slap me now, bitch." And he backed up. He backed up. And then when the security guard came over, he came back forward and started talking trash. And his wife ripped his mask off. And I told him, I said, "You're a coward. Stand by your motherfucking word. You said you was going to slap me. I'm right here. Slap me." And he did absolutely nothing. You know, so it just kind of showed. He acts like he's so much better than everybody else. Now, I paid my dues in this sport. You fought two people. And one I completely destroyed. And the other one put you on your ass before you knocked him out with a lucky punch. And I completely destroyed him too. You know, so. I don't know.
Yeah, no, man. I mean, obviously, it's kind of a short notice, but for you, it doesn't matter because you don't have to get ready if you stay ready, right?
I'm underweight. Yeah. I'm underweight. When I left to go to practice tonight, I was 131 pounds. I'm fighting at 135, and it's because when they told me, "Oh, you got this fight," I kicked it into high gear, like super high gear. I think I was training a little too hard, and my weight came off a lot faster than what I thought it was going to be because I was walking around about 142, 143, and now I'm all the way down to the low 130s. So we're going to – look, I went and got me some Taco Bell tonight.
Stunting on them 2 weeks before camp. Yeah, with the Taco Bell.
Yeah, I feel great. I did a Shark Tank tonight. I got my ass kicked by all my teammates, but I believe what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Every 30 seconds, they threw another man at me, and everybody was bigger than me. You know, no excuses. You know, I pushed through. I was tired. I wanted to puke, and I kept going. I finished all 15 rounds. You know, I'm in shape. I'm ready to go. I hope he is built like me, and I'm going to show the world that he's not built like me.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Do you get ready with that? With a heavy, is this more of a heavy camp than you have done previously because of what's coming at you for this next BKFC? Or are you sticking to what your routine is that you are successful at?
I mean, we added a little bit of extra stuff because it is late notice, you know. So we're trying to cram a few things that we would normally do in a 6 to 8 week camp in a 3 week camp. But I was already in shape. I stay in shape, and it's just that's how I live. For me, I live a fighter's lifestyle. I don't ever try to go more than 10 pounds over my fight weight. I box at 128, 130, so I try not to get over 140, 141 pounds. So if somebody calls and they're like, "Yo, we got a boxing match for you," I can take it. So, but of course, bare knuckle is always my first choice when it comes to competing. But I'm a combat sportsman. I do it all. So. Yeah.
Right. Well, I know as soon as Bedford dropped out, I saw it on Instagram. Matt immediately said, "No, I want to fight, you know, someone else." He wasn't ready to fight you.
No.
How did you take that?
No, because I already knew. I mean, I didn't take it as I already know he's scared of me. The things he said, the things he's done, how he's carried himself is everything that a man that is scared or intimidated or unsure of himself That's what they do. I mean, he even went so far as to bring up my criminal history and, you know, my past and stuff to try to belittle me and make me look at like less of a person. But the world knows I went from prison to pay-per-view. I changed my life. Yeah, I had a rough start. I did some things that I'm not proud of. I went through some things as a young adult, a teenager. But here we are. It's been 6 years since I've been in any legal trouble, been incarcerated, any running, you know. So for you to go and do that just shows how intimidated you are by me.
I give you props for that for sure, too, because I love shit like that when you overcome a lot of adversity. Would you entertain him, though, again, though, after that now?
What do you mean?
Meaning, like, coming back at you? Oh, I'm ready now. Does he dropped out on you?
Who, Dad?
Johnny.
Johnny, you know, when I initially heard that Johnny was injured, that shit hurt my heart for real, because even though we fought and we had our little, you know, battle of war words, you know, for the hype for our fight, I love and respect him. You know, when we first met at the very first bare knuckle, we were like, yo, bro, we're going to get Dave to do a 135-pound tournament and put us on opposite sides so we can fight, because we knew that we were going to run through everybody in the league and have to fight each other eventually. So I have the utmost respect for Johnny. Johnny wasn't supposed to fight me. He was supposed to fight Dad, but he's injured. And I hate to see a champion be injured, but at the same time, it's an opportunity for me. And I'm always willing to step up and fill in that spot. I'm not scared of anybody. I don't shy away from a challenge. And so here we are a couple weeks out, and I'm going to go in there and take care of business like I always do.
Right on, man.
What's up, Anthony?
Oh, what's up, Tiger? Anthony Cruz, what's up, buddy? Didn't you say you was going to run up in his restaurant and take his foe and beat him in his restaurant? Did I see that, no. Reggie?
That's not what I said. That's not what I said.
I probably messed that up.
You did mess that up. What I said was, if you keep running your mouth, I'm going to beat your ass. Because he's like, oh, he's a thug. He's a gangster. Da, da, da. I was like, you want to see a gangster? I'll beat your ass like you owe me protection money. Like a real
That's what it was. Yeah, yeah. You got to give it back to him like that. Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, if you want to try to portray me like that and carry me like that, like I said, that part of me, I went to prison, I put in the work, I changed my life, my mind, the way I think, the way I see the world. But if you push me to that point, excuse my language, and I ain't gonna say it, he will come out. That part, and y'all, everybody saw it. Everybody saw it at the end of BKFC 12. Like, I try to be humble, I try to be respectful, you know, a company, whatever you want to call it. But if you push me to that point, the gangster will fucking come out. And that side of Reggie is a bad person, you know, and that's why I tried to keep reins on him and keep him reeled in.
Before we run out, I know we're getting a little bit closer to the end of the interview, but you wanted to talk about, you have a program, Educated Minds, correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. That's right? Okay.
Yeah. We haven't launched nationally yet. It's just kind of on a local thing, and my daughter actually had her first actual official day back in school today, which was, you know, good for her, and she was really happy to be around her kids. But the program consists of the parents reaching out to other parents so that we can connect our children in the times that they're not able to, you know, work with each other and interact with each other. It's COVID, and they're telling us to stay away from each other. But kids need that social interaction. They need to be, you know, able to communicate and see each other. But if we're constantly telling them, especially not being in school and having to learn online, you know, to not be around each other, the basis of Educated Minds is for the parents to build a network within each other so that way we can keep our kids connected socially and also help them learn from each other and us. It takes a village. And things got a lot rougher. And I watched my daughter, I watched some of the other kids just struggle emotionally, you know, from not having that social connection, and struggle, you know, academically. It's hard. I watched, you know, my daughter and my niece, you know, sit here and stare at a computer screen all day. That would drive anybody mad. And so I just wanted to try to find a way to, I guess, subsidize and make it less harmful. I don't know what the word is for it. And so we started the program out of my gym. All the kids in the gym are connected. They're reaching out to other kids in other schools now. There's a couple kids that go to Greenbrier Middle, and there's a couple kids that go to Indian River Middle. And, you know, they're using the basis of the program to just socially interact with each other and learn from each other. And that's really, you know, what I wanted it to do. And I'm connected with other parents from other schools that my daughter doesn't go to, that their kids go to because they train at our gym. And, you know, sometimes if I don't know something or my daughter just needs to talk to somebody or whatever, we reach out. That was the basis of educating.
Is there a website for this or anything?
No, it was just a thought. You know, it was just, for me, it was just a thought. I, like I said, I sat here and I watched my daughter go through all that. And I was like, what can I do to help her? You know, how can I help her? How can I help some other kids? And then, you know, some of the other kids at my gym were struggling. So is it website building and all that stuff coming? Yeah, definitely. But right now I was just trying to put my feelers out there and make sure that it would actually truly work. And it's not like super, super big yet. Not as big as I was hoping it would grow. But I feel like it will continue to grow the more we open the door for the conversation. So I thank y'all very much for asking me about it. And it's not even a matter of it being like, you know, a big thing. It's really up to us as parents and individuals to reach out within our communities. You know, the network is built within the community. Somebody's like, well, why don't you, you know, have a little website, like almost like you said, a website or something you can get on where people can get it. Because real talk, that's when you get the creeps in there.
I was about to say, I'm like, you do this interaction, this network just for little children, but then you know there's always going to be that something that's going to mess it up somehow.
Exactly. So, right. So if we only have it localized to communities and it's just simply the parents in the communities communicating with the other parents that they know and communicating with the other children that they know, then it works. But if we have, you know, so-and-so here in Virginia that's on this online database and then some asshole from somewhere else in the country who's not really has any good intentions can still get up there and manipulate it, that was my word. And so that's why we held off on, you know, launching it on kind of a national scale. I wanted to see how it worked on a local level and make sure, because the kids are our future. And we not only do we have to educate the minds, but we have to keep them protected and safe, especially in this day and age.
Oh, yeah. All right. So I'm sure there's definitely ways you can foolproof that and keep brainstorming.
We're still working on it. It's a work in progress. It's only going to grow. I feel like 2021 will really, truly, you know, launch like into a global effort.
I totally agree with you. I teach youth MMA several times a week, and I have this cool class of kids that are there that have, they're no longer being quarantined anymore, but then I still have on the computer, which is kind of sad, you know, a couple more kids here that are still stuck at home, and they're watching these kids interact. And I think I'm lagging. I'm not sure if I am.
No.
I see myself lagging.
You jumped a little bit. That's
okay.
It.
Jumped a little bit.
So something like that would be, if it was more privatized, like how you're talking about keeping it more safeguarding it from, you know, a wide set standard and having it more community based. I think that would be really helpful and beneficial. And I see that teaching the youth MMA, I think that could really go a different way. So I keep preaching it. That's a little movement. Yeah.
It was just a thought. Like I said, how can I help? How can I make a difference? How can I use my platform to put some positivity back into the world, despite everything that's been going on? And they're constantly telling us to stay away from each other. But we need that. The kids need that social interaction.
Everybody does.
I'm about to say adults need it too. You know, I get it at work having to deal with the dickheads I work with. So.
Yeah, I've been working from home. I work from home 3 weeks out of the month, and I find myself thinking that way too. It's like, man, I got to see somebody. I need to, you know, get out of my house sometimes.
Exactly. So imagine a 5 to 12 year old kid who hasn't seen one of their friends in months. How they're feeling inside.
I hear it every day.
Don't feel that way. So, and they don't know how to process those feelings, you know, or they're still learning to process those feelings. So we have to be there, you know, as adults, as parents, you know, to help guide them and teach them and educate their minds to deal with their emotions, their academic, their social interactions. It all goes hand in hand. And so I'm just trying to, you know, just one little step at a time.
That's right. Before we go, man, I wanted to ask you this. I mean, obviously, that's an accomplished boxer. You're an accomplished boxer.
I'm not an accomplished boxer. I'm not.
Yeah, well, you are. You know, you're being humble.
I got one little bullshit ass alphabet belt. What I got? The USBU super feather. That shit don't mean nothing.
Besides the point, you're being humble. But do you respect Dat's hands?
No. He's too fucking slow.
He's too slow. Yeah.
Well, all right. I'll take that back. I respect Dat's accomplishments, you know, in his boxing career, right? But you ran from boxing after you beat one notable guy because you didn't want to step up and fight the best, you know, in boxing. So you felt like, again, like he was better than everybody else and he deserved a lot more than what he actually earned. And so you ran, right? And so you come over to my sport, you beat two people and then try to act like you're God's greatest gift to bare knuckle. I put in my work from the tryout to the first show to here we are going on into the 14th show, you know? So I respect his accomplishments in boxing, but do I respect his hands as far as bare knuckle? No, this is a whole different fucking sport.
This is true. This is your sport, man. He's coming into your sport. I mean, there's not many people that have more experience than you.
If you go back and look at some of the stuff that I was doing in my first couple of fights and then watch some of the other fighters, they got it from me. You know, the innovation. And that's why I love this sport as it is now, because I can still innovate. I can still create, you know, as long as I'm within the bounds of the rules. And we are still to this day creating and innovating and finding what works within bare knuckle. And the more I do that, the more and more it becomes my sport. It's not just boxing. Can I box? Very, very well. Can I bare knuckle fight? Fuck yes. There is a big difference between bare knuckle fighting and boxing.
I agree with you that one.
Oh, I have to. I wanted this to be on record, so people know, whoever's watching, what like really everything that transpired. So, I don't remember which BKFC it was, but we were all there, and I'm like, well, you know, Dat, eventually you'll have to fight me, and he's like, oh no, only if they're gonna pay me. Da da da. I shouldn't have to fight you. I should get to fight the champ next. And you know, we went around, you know, all the fighters sitting at the table, and they're all like, oh, you gotta fight Reggie. And, you know, it kind of turned into just real tension, you know. And I was like, you know what, bro, you can duck me all you want. Even if you beat Johnny, you'll have to fight me eventually. And I said, you can fight Johnny and win the title and I can beat your ass and take it from you. Or I can beat your ass before you fight Johnny and then I can go back and get my rematch. It's a win-win for me. That's what I told him. And he went and said that he didn't need to fight me. And then he made a comment online, and this is where the beef really took off. He said that I only wanted to fight him because my wife needed the money and she was pregnant at the time, right? If you would have said I only need to fight you because I need the money, it's a different story, right? But the second you throw my wife or anybody in my family in that comment, you turn it into a whole nother thing. And in all honesty, that comment, he was trying to call me a poor ass nigga. That's what he was trying to do in the politest way possible. That's what he was trying to do, right? And I don't care what anybody says. If you read between the lines of that comment, he's pretty much was saying you're poor. That's why you need the fight, because your wife needs the money, which is so much further from the truth. We own a gym. I'm a senior tech at my job. I got plenty of personal clients. You know, and my life is good. I'm great. It's not about money. It was about principality, right? You say you're the best in this sport, then fight the best. Don't duck me, right? So once he said that comment, it turned it into something else. You know? But I'm not going to go in there out of anger or whatever. I'm going to go in there and beat his ass the way I know how, the way I do everybody else. But that's where the beef took off from, you know?
And it's clearly personal.
That comment, he was going to slap me after he had made that other comment. And then that's where it turned into just almost like his personal thing. But I'm not taking his personal. I'm a fighter. I've been there. I went through that with Johnny. My mindset has grown. I've matured above that. I'm going to go in there and take care of business. But I want people to understand why I was so upset with him. Yeah. Had you just talked shit about me, you know, about my fighting skill, that's fine. But don't bring my family, don't bring my pregnant wife into the conversation, trying to, you know, skate around like you weren't, that wasn't your intention of trying to call me poor. I already knew that. We all know. So that's what really, really pissed me off. We're combat sportsmen. You can talk about my fight IQ, my speed, my footwork, my power.
Family's off limits, yeah.
All that shit. But family is off limits. And you know what I said in an interview? It would have been really disrespectful if I had said, I'll beat your ass and make your wife my concubine and raise your children as my own. You know?
Well, you just said it now.
Yeah, man, that's not cool.
It's simply talking about...
No, I'm not saying that to that, right? But if I said some shit like that, that would be disrespectful.
I agree with you. Yeah, you don't bring that shit up, though. I agree. That is when people do try to get in your skin a little bit and mess with
you.
Yeah. That's a mind game part of the sport.
Yeah, but I'm not playing those mind games. And then you go online and post about my history, and it's because you're a coward, because you're scared of me. You need something to try to throw me off of my game so I don't come in there mentally fit and whoop your ass the way you know I am going to. But it's not going to work. It's not. I can read between the lines. I see what it is. I know what it is. It's all good.
Yeah. You have a sound mind to go in there.
We don't want to take up too much more of your time. I know you're, you know, getting ready for the fight and everything. So.
Oh, yeah. It's been a day. I put 10 tons of sand underneath the house. And then. Yeah, I did. I put 10 tons of sand underneath the house today at work, and then I went and did a 15-round Shark Tank with guys all bigger than me, and they whooped my ass. So, yeah, I'm a little exhausted. But I thank you guys so much for just, you know, for extending me the invite, for having me on, giving me an opportunity to, you know, clear the air so people understand, you know, where the beef stems from, you know, why we're at each other's necks like that, and then also an opportunity to speak about my program. And you guys can launch Educated Minds where y'all are at. And it doesn't even have to be called that. That's the great thing about it, is just build the network within the community to make sure that our kids are getting the nurturement they need emotionally, physically, and mentally.
Well, we also want to give you the opportunity to shout out your sponsors and anybody else that has helped you along the way.
Well, the first person I'm going to shout out is my mominger. We call her Mom
Kim.
I like that.
My mom Kim, she has been putting in work, and not a lot of people know that my mom has end-stage COPD. I don't know if y'all know what end-stage COPD means, but end-stage. And I feel like her taking over the reins as my manager has given her a purpose and a drive to continue to fight her disease and keep living.
She's fucking killing it, man. I'll say it. She's killing it. Yeah.
And then, I got 15 sponsors, and I'm going to try not to forget any of them, all right? Wait, don't you got the list? What do y'all got the list?
We're trying to.
I don't have your new list, bro.
No, sir, you're not putting me on the spot.
It's all good. Tribal International, Lamora Rose, J&K Style Grill, Ginger Hales, Fight Heads MMA. Where we at? Five. Match About, 757 Boxing. Oh, yeah, seven.
You got a roofing company.
Yeah, they just came on and started sponsoring me. He said he didn't even want any credit, or I called him to tell him thank you, Nate Price. And he's like, man, don't you advertise my company. Da-da-da-da-da. All right, where else are we at?
Where are they?
Humble as a mumble.
Oh, yeah. Think big, of course. Thank you. My daughter's in her room. She's shouting out sponsors.
Good girl.
Family affair, yo. Definitely a family affair.
Hold on, y'all.
Don't go nowhere.
We're not going anywhere. We're waiting.
Don't go to
me. I want to see wifey. Tell her I said what's up.
You guys have the list in front of you? Can you see the list?
What's up?
You have the list in front of you?
No, I don't. No, I don't.
Some hints like Pictionary or something, or
I normally do. I don't. I can see if I can find it real quick.
This is a cool game. Guess your sponsor.
Yeah, don't forget our sponsor here on this show, which was Goat Combat Agency.
Oh, right on.
White day today, as always. My mom's going to kick my ass. Sponsor's going to kick my ass. White day today, as always. We got Joiner Driving School, Gordon Customs, James Steak Grills, Key Customs, Cryo Spa VA, Atlantic Suitor Bees International, Fight Heads MMA. Yeah, that was all of them that I have on this list. So if I missed any of y'all, I am so sorry. It's just a lot to keep up with.
That's all right.
You need to find a spot and put a banner in the background, bro.
they took my banner and they hung it up at one of the gyms, and I'm getting a new one. I tell them that, like, I feel like some of this stuff is a waste of money. Like, I don't need a new banner every fight. I don't need new trunks. I don't need a new outfit. Just
gotta keep give me what I got,
and let's just go bump, you know?
Not fancy about it.
Well, thanks for coming on, Reggie. And eventually, we're going to do another Bare Knuckles in Bruges. Your mom's been hitting me up, and you know, hopefully, we can do it again before you fight, bro.
Just let me know. Thank you guys so much for giving me y'all's time and energy. I appreciate it. And also to Dave Feldman, Nate Shook, thank y'all for the call. Y'all knew who to call. Y'all already knew who to call. Y'all knew as soon as y'all called me, I was going to be like, I said yes. My camp said no. I convinced my camp to say yes, so we got to fight. So thank you guys for giving me that call and the opportunity. Make sure y'all all tune in November 13th. It's going down live in Miami, Florida. If you don't already have it, download that. I'm on it. I'm doing it. Download that BKTV app. Download that BKTV app. You can watch all my past fights. You can watch all the other fighters, plus a whole bunch of extra content. Absolutely wonderful. You can't beat $3.99 a month to watch a whole bunch of people punch.
While you're downloading that app, download our app for Fight Mixer, too.
Word. I didn't even know I had one. I'm going to download the Fight Mixer app tonight. Oh, there it is right there.
All right, be good, Reggie. We'll see you soon, buddy.
Thank you guys so much. Y'all be blessed.
Good night.
Later.
Good night.
That's another nice view.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to going down there and hanging out.
Yeah, he's an awesome guy, man. He's an awesome guy. Hey, I appreciate you guys having me on.
Catch up with you, Vince.
Yeah, maybe I
dick.
You know, sorry about last. Yeah, I was a dick. I'm sorry, dude. Hey, you know, if I want to keep a dick, I need to get off here because my wife's like, she's like knocking on my office, bitching at me right now. So I need to go.
All right, man.
Bye. All right, man. Thank y'all. I'll talk to you later.
Thank you guys for coming on, and I really appreciate your help, Vince.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Anytime. Let me know.
All right. Thanks a lot. Have a good night, guys.
Bye. Good night.
See you.
Perfect.